featuring James Baldwin and Rob James.
Please, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Who doesn't love crashing into snowbanks? Literally no one in this rally because everyone did it, at least at one point or another. Were you lucky or were you tacker? That's really the two extremes that happened in Rally Sweden. We can all be sad together because I tell you bloody what, after this kind of event, tacker is now my favourite driver and he will win the World Bloody Drivers Rally Championship in the same way that all the GR Yaris's that definitely didn't come first, but there were a lot afterwards. After my prediction that they'd come first and second. Anyway, I'm ranting. But anyway, Rally Sweden was bloody fantastic. And I'm here to talk about it with you, dear listener, and also two amazing people. The expert in slapping a snowbank. No, it's not Cyril Abeatable. It's Rob James.
Yes, and a special Listen to My Calls investigation will uncover how the big four snowbanks have been rorting. various Toyota rally drivers across the weekend.
That's very good. Didn't see it coming. I'm bloody here for it.
That's what Kelly Robin-Bera said.
Yeah, they suck you in with good rates and then suddenly you can't get out of it. And joining us for the first time, but certainly not the last, it is Adelaide. Hello, Adelaide.
Hello. Yes, I thought after a few weeks of listening in my car and replying as if I was actually on the podcast anyway, I thought I'd join in because I was sick of you guys spreading misinformation.
So you're a roster driver, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, I am. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Adelaide Robin-Pera.
And yeah, it is a trial. So if I do crash a car and I am shit, I will not return. So we'll just see how we go.
Okay, Lorenzo Bertelli. Yeah.
Well, let's see if Adelaide can make it the entire way through this podcast without crashing into a snowbank or being sucked in with a mortgage rate. That is all to come on this episode of Listen to My Calls.
Listen to My Calls.
Okay, team, let's start with some broad observations about Rally Sweden. Apart from it being just simply bloody gorgeous, Adelaide, let's start with you. What did you think from a... Rob and I sort of fawned all over WRC or rally.tv a couple of episodes ago, just how bloody good it was. Are you sharing that kind of thought process? Because where I stood, this was bloody great to watch.
Yeah, it was... I would say this is like the first... I think the first rally, like Monte Carlo, I properly watched it. But this one, I was like very invested. Rob will tell you, I would just tell random facts throughout the, like, I'd watch it as much as possible. The only time I didn't watch was when I was asleep.
Where's your commitment?
Last year, Rally Sweden was like my first, I actually watched a live stage, which was a power stage, when Craig Breen had his second, I can't remember. Was it second or third?
It was second. That's a very good recall.
Yes,
not bad for,
yes.
For a number, for a reserve, for a part-time driver.
Thank you. But this year it was like, so I watched it properly and I just thought it was so cool. Like I just thought the snow and the changing conditions, like, you know, Elfin was driving on, he couldn't, there was no line. It was just snow and it was very cool. And I enjoyed watching it this weekend.
I'm willing to say this has been the best start to a World Rally Championship in at least in since I've started watching, which is 2024. So, no, but in all seriousness, this has been, I've really enjoyed the start of this season. Monte Carlo was, the way I summed it up a couple of podcasts ago was not boring, but not uneventful either. It was a very interesting rally. Whereas this was downright bonkers. And I actually want to start, because I think a regular segment we're going to have to inaugurate or initiate on Listen to My Calls is the apologies.
I'm very sorry.
Because invariably, we will get lots of things wrong. So an obvious one. Well, this is more partial credit. This is obviously from Fro Sports in the Discord, who threw out the gauntlet to everyone in WRC2 to potentially snag a podium. We got close.
So close.
George Lindemeyer got a stage win in Rally Sweden. Such was the conditions. Granted, it was the surface was getting better. It's like at F1 where it rained during qualifying, but the tyres get faster and faster and faster. And so you want to be on the right tyre during the race. This was very much the case in WRC2. The cars were almost perfect for this rally. And granted, in Australia, we've got the disadvantage of a, I'm willing to call it a fucked time zone. You wake up every morning and it's all of a sudden, I wouldn't be surprised. I was half expecting Lorenzo Bertelli to lead the rally at one point.
Me too, to be honest.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, we had Takemoto Katsuta leading by Friday night in Australia. So I don't know what day it was, probably Tuesday or whatever it was over there. But and then obviously Esa-Pekka Lappi was there. But then Adrian Formo was second outright and he valiantly hung on at least to hang on to third for the rally. Elfyn Evans eventually got the better of him there. We'll discuss Elfyn a little bit later because there's a bit going on with the Welsh wizard.
Maybe you should ask the Welsh wizard.
Just honestly, if you just, from start to finish, I enjoyed every bit of the rally to the point where when the podium ceremony happened and I, you know, tuned out of the rally TV coverage, I was a bit sad because I wanted more. This has been the best rally I reckon I've seen in a very, very long time.
It's exactly what the sports needed to not only get it back on top of trying to figure out where the direction's going, but and I made a note of this for later, but talk about Callie, who obviously had an issue, which we will talk about later. The fact that he can come back on Sunday and go full send to recover points because of the way the new point system works. Mm. It's, again, another check mark in the positive box for the new point system for this year.
The point system. I actually cannot believe how good it is. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's adapted in other rally around the world, to be honest with you.
The thing I find remarkable is that people are still, it's very divisive still. Lots of people don't like the notion that, you know, you could win the rally, but someone that finishes second or third could get a big haul of points. And like, I'll give you an example with Adrian Formo. He hung on to second for quite a bit of Saturday, obviously dropped to third with a rapid Elfyn Evans behind him taking second. But when I suddenly recalled that, oh, hang on a sec, because Adrian finished second on Saturday, he's going to be duly rewarded for being in that position come the end of Saturday.
Yeah,
I think that's great. I mean, this is the whole thing. All of these sort of Richard Burns rally fanboys. Like,
there it is.
You know what shit me the other day? I went to go look for some potential mods for the EA Sports WRC game. Sorry, Adelaide, yes. It's your computer.
Broke it. Genuinely, yeah. It was like, error, will not turn on.
And I did
it.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I
had to sit there for 10 minutes sweating, trying to go, at what point do I fess?
Almost destroyed my entire WRC account.
I know, I'm sorry. But
you sat there, you didn't even tell me. Yeah. You just sat there and watched.
So that's the second apology on Listen to My Calls, and it's an internal one.
I'm very sorry,
But there's one mod in EA Sports WRC. Someone has made a mod where if you play from the interior view and you see the steering wheel and you see the gloves and whatever. So EA Sports have done this. I thought it was a pretty cute thing where it drives along and then every so often the hands go out and stretch.
Okay.
You're gripping the wheel for a while.
Makes sense.
To me, that's realistic. You know, on my bicycle, on my scooter, I do exactly the same thing. So there's a mod on for EA Sports WRC where this guy was so aggrieved. He said, "This is real rally," where he disabled the hands from being moved because, for whatever reason, real rally drivers don't stretch.
I didn't know. I did not know that was a thing. That's amazing.
I just couldn't believe it. At one point, I'm like, I appreciate that you're enhancing the EA Sports game unofficially, but I'm also frustrated at this sort of pedantic behavior. But anyway. Again, I can't remember why we got onto this, but...
Yeah, I actually was trying to think of that too. We went from Fro talking about WRC 2 into Richard Burns Rally, which I'm not surprised about.
Descends.
And you breaking my computer, so...
Let's talk about Discord very quickly before we talk about the different categories for this weekend, because Fro Sport did say that, and it is an apology, but the fact that came back on to say, okay, so WRC 2 only fifth outright, but Sweden isn't traditionally a high attrition event. So I still maintain we'll see one event with a WRC 2 on the podium. Prime candidates would have to be Kenya or Greece. Mm. The Acropolis Rally, otherwise known as Rob's favourite rally to think about off the top of his head. eight Rally 1 cars just isn't enough. And he's so right. When we look and we'll talk about exactly where everyone came outright in just a little bit, but there's significant jumps, and the Toyota GR Yaris Rally 2 car is just bloody unstoppable. Well, unless you're Ollie Solberg driving a Skoda, which we'll also talk about. Bastard, get that Skoda out of the way. I need my GR Yaris to do better than that.
Listen to my calls.
All right, let's talk about Fiestas. It's Rob's...
Hang on, no. You got to do it properly, James. Do it properly. Do the sweeper.
Let's check it out. JWRC.
I'd forgotten already. JWRC 99.5. Please feel free to call in if you would like to have any further information on how to have your own Fiesta. Adelaide, let's start with you on this one. They were only... So, Mille Johansson finished 16th overall. He was first in the JWRC. He's 16 minutes, 28 seconds away from the leader, which is an incredible feat in conditions like this. I'm stoked, like genuinely stoked, and stoked that Ford had some kind of representation midway through the list.
Junior WRC is something I only have just learned about because of... Aussie Taylor Gill.
Aussie
I genuinely thought that, is it Mille? Is that how you pronounce it? I thought that was Millie. I thought it was a girl.
You try reading out Laurie Yuna last week and then, boy, did I get a rude shock when I saw his bald bonce.
Oh, apparently it's Larry.
Yeah, Larry David did well. Anyway, we'll get to WRC too.
It's, you know what I hate? Bradley TV is great. And I love that every so often we get to see them on TV. Like, we get to see the extended bit where we get to see a couple more. But I hate how you don't really know. And they're also so behind. So, it's like three stages are done before they've even done the stage before. And it's just confusing.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if it was the conditions, the amount of people doing the rally. But I thought they were quite well represented. Although, I don't understand, and maybe Rob can explain, what the difference is between WRC 3 and Junior WRC and why some people do just WRC 3 and don't do Junior WRC.
Well, it'll be because if, say, you or I, because we are over the JWRC age threshold, but you still want to compete in a car that's not a Rally 1 car or even a Skoda Fabia Rally 2 car. It is the perfect gateway. It's a little bit like, well, let's say that it's probably not a fair comparison, but if you think of your Mitsubishi Evo and Subaru WRX kind of regional rally cars, as they were, or Group N for all the Anoraks out there, it's probably closer to the mark of that. And then original... Oh, hang on a second. I can't wait to talk about this one day. The original JWRC, my God, that was a hell of a formula. So the old...
We'll have to have a special episode for that.
Yeah, they were like... they were 1.6 litre engines, naturally aspirated. You know the classic sort of high revving sort of rally cars that you sort of see on the internet every so often. And there was like Suzuki was in there, Citroën had a presence in there. So it was a completely different formula to what we have now. Obviously, it's a control car. It's good for M Sport, obviously. they're front wheel drive though, so they still have that sort of commonality as well. And it's a good car to basically learn in as well, because Rally 2, look, as we saw at the Arctic Rally a couple of weeks ago, the Elfyn Evans won by 5 minutes. So, you know, but they're still bloody rapid, the Rally 2 cars, and certainly the onboards at Rally Sweden prove that point.
The first stage they do at night, that Thursday, I just cannot believe the speeds that, like, even through that Junior WRC were going. It was absolutely mind-blowing. If I can talk on Taylor Gill for a second.
Aussie pride.
Please.
I thought it was very, like, a valiant effort for him because he's first time doing it and he was doing so well. Thursday, I think he ended up being second. He was fastest time for a bit. And then
he was leading up until stage three. By 8 seconds over Raul Hernandez. Some great tennis player names in the junior WRC, by the way.
Oh, yeah, because yes, correct, yeah. And then double puncture, and I couldn't believe it because I think, you know, I'd gone to bed and he was, you know, doing very well and then woke up and went, oh, no, which I kind of, I don't know if it's just, you know, the way Australian sports people are portrayed, I just expected something bad to happen, unfortunately.
As someone who's watched Mark Webber in Formula One for 10 years, it's perfectly understandable.
Yeah, no disrespect to Taylor. I'm sure, you know, double puncture's not to do with his driving, of course. But, but he clawed his way back. He really did improve. And I'm sure, like, someone coming from Australia, not really driving on snow ever, like, all he'd been doing for the weeks prior had been training on snow. Very, very good effort because I know I don't think I could ever do something like that. So
yeah. I mean, Taylor was one of the, I think he was second in that Rally Star Because they weren't really in a championship, I don't recall, last year. They were just doing a whole bunch of
different events. Yeah, I think they're just doing some
in Europe.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get corrected if we're wrong. So.
Yeah. And then this will be, they'll make a mod about it, Adelaide, so, where your hands don't move anymore. So Taylor was, he dropped to third. So he was in around that podium region by SS6 and obviously fell off by the wayside on SS7. He dropped to, what, 13th in class, lost some 10 minutes on that stage. But by the end of the rally, he clawed back to seventh in class as well. And James, he touched on as well with JWRC and how many entrants there were. So 12 ended up finishing the rally. And we had 15 actually make the start line. So to only lose a handful of cars, I think, is a big credit to all those drivers that that took part.
Especially since, you've got the WRC one where we had, which we'll touch on. But I think, yes, you're right. It is a very good, for a lot of people, it would have been probably the first, I don't know how many debutants there were.
It was great to watch. And this is the future of the sport, right? And we're talking about the future of rallying in general. All we have to do is look not only at JWRC 99.5, but also at WRC 2.
Listen to my calls.
Let's talk about WRC 2 now. And Ollie Solberg, who I am all here for and was all here for right from the beginning of the weekend because of that reel that I sent you both, which is kind of old content because I saw a couple of MotoGP riders do that earlier in the year. But, of course, when you're doing rallying, I suppose... wait for your home rally to do it. Okay, the Skoda Fabia RS is very quick. And sadly, it doesn't have a hybrid system in it to make it as quick as the other cars. But I tell you what, if the other cars were only as powerful as this, I genuinely would believe that Ollie Solberg would have won this rally outright. Because the way he was driving, and that's not all the Skoda, okay? Richard Burns rally fans, not just the car, it's also the driver, probably. He did such an incredible job. Rob, it was the fact that he was third at the end of stage 8, everyone was losing their minds, and I love that.
Yeah, it was remarkable. Adelaide and I were rolling our eyes a little bit on the Friday where I think he won a stage by, 25 seconds, I think, in class. And he was just like, oh, yeah, but it was I didn't do that good. I didn't have a good stage. And
yeah.
And Molly Pettit was like, what are you 25 seconds up? What are you talking about? That exact quote. But just classic sort of pessimistic rally driver syndrome. But
he's learned from Johan Kristoffersen.
He was better throughout the weekend because because let's be honest, by the time he got to halfway through Saturday, he had a 51-second lead over Sami Pajari. So I think he could relax and be a little bit more confident in his own driving. Ended up winning by just over a minute and a quarter to Sami Pajari, who last week, so instead of apologies, let's just go with the Booyah, listen to my calls, was right on that one. Because did I give you Sami Pajari as the first Toyota Yaris Rally 2 stage win and podium?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, that's partial credit because he got the first podium because he finished second in class. But George Linnemai was the first stage winner for a Yaris Rally 2 car. And boy, did they have a change of fortune compared to the Monte Carlo Rally. I know I probably gave them too harsh of an assessment after that rally. But, oh boy, this is... Skoda would be shaking in their boots a little bit right now on how well they did. Granted, it was a lot of finish and an Estonian driver in that top five, but that Yaris is quick out of the box, certainly on snow.
I said this to everyone last week. Monte Carlo would have been a little bit embarrassing for Toyota, to be perfectly honest. A lot of hype and then probably not delivering what they want. Now, as Adelaide and I are GR owners, effectively, we're happy to be on the Toyota side of life, and we wish them well. We wish them well so far. And so when I looked at the finishing list and was like, okay, well, Ollie Solberg, WRC, but then the amount of GR Yarises in WRC 2 after him, as you said, total change in fortune. Toyota put in so much effort to come back from what was a little bit of an embarrassment from them. And I genuinely think after doing the Lapland Rally with Elfin and Callie, Toyota would have taken some data away and gone to their customers in WRC 2 and gone, I reckon you should maybe try this for this setup for the weekend and see how it goes. Because genuinely, it was incredible to watch Adelaide, and they just look bloody good.
Absolutely. And I think I did keep track of that because I was like, oh, are they actually going to finish? Because I don't know if they're going to freeze in the cold, but maybe the cold was better for these cars. I don't know. As much as Skoda is good, it is good that they have a bit of a challenge, because I think they've not really had much to challenge them recently.
Yeah, that's true. We've got Emil Lindholm was the best of the rest, I'm willing to say, in 7th in the Hyundai. And then you have to go down to 13th with Yaroslav Kolten. Oh, I hope I pronounced that correctly. In the Ford Fiesta, and William Crichton in 14th. And then, it was a hard showing for the Citroens. Nikolai Greisen, obviously, he didn't finish the rally, and James Leckie, 18th in the best Citroen. So, you know, we talk about how good bloody WRC2 is with the variety of manufacturers, but let's face it.
Yeah.
It's no different to rally. Arguably, I'm going to say it's even less competition than Rally 1, because now it's only two cars that can compete for outright victory as opposed to the one solitary car.
That's a great shout, because just looking through this list, it's like, okay, Fabio RS, Fiesta Rally 3 with all the JWRC, 1C3, and then just GR Yaris and 1i20N, Fabio RS, Fabio. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually find it frustrating because I don't like the lack of diversity.
I think it will encourage people, like other manufacturers, to maybe try harder. If Toyota can bring in something like this so quickly, I guess, and that's be true. That competitive. Who knows? You know, maybe it will push other people. Maybe Skoda will make another Skoda.
Oh, I will say this, though. Maybe a Skoda Yeti Rally 2. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Oh. But the great thing I loved about Rally 2 over the weekend, given that we had such a high attrition rate in Rally 1, obviously Ollie Solberg was on the podium at one point in third. But we got to know... a little bit more about these WRC2 drivers. You got Larry Yuna, for example, and Rupe Korhonen and Mikko Häkkilä. Some great names that I just have forever etched as echolalia from the weekend of these Finnish rally drivers. Yeah. Such satisfying names.
I actually don't know how the hosts say it so well.
Lots of practice.
They must do training. I'm so impressed. I couldn't. I had to go and listen to make sure I had Larry Yuna correct, because I was going to call him Laurie. So
there'll be a quiz. Don't worry.
Yeah, to listen to my calls, pronunciation school.
It was actually good to see some Rally 2 drivers getting a bit of some prime time action, as it were, higher up the order. Not that they don't get covered sufficiently, but you know, it was good to see them sort of in that top 10, and it's good to see who's going to be the next sort of batch of rally drivers, because I think, you know, WRC struggled with that a little bit, and so, you know, this is a good platform for them.
Well, I did appreciate that Larry Yuna, as we have said about six times, because we had Ollie Solberg being all negative and pessimistic, even though he literally went fastest on a stage, and then said, oh, but what about the guys behind? Okay, don't enjoy it. Please don't enjoy it. But I did appreciate that Larry Yuna, he got told he was the second fastest at the time on SS5, and he did this whole reaction, which is so sweet. He was like, no, not me. Like, he double took. It was very, very sweet, and I appreciate that. And I, yeah, now I have like a bit of a connection. I'm like, oh, this is very sweet. Now I want to see him do well.
All right. So if you head to the Listen to My Calls Discord, the Larry Yuna Appreciation Society, Adelaide will be the moderator.
I don't know anything about the guy. Probably should do some research.
Well, maybe that's a new segment of the show. Adelaide's heartwarming interview of the rally, and goes to Larry for this rally. Here's a question for you both, and also for the Discord. If you could choose one car to come into WRC2, which one would it be? From any manufacturer, any model, what would you pull in to try and get some difference in away from a Yaris?
Easy one for me.
Go on.
Renault Megane.
Oh, stop.
I thought you were going to say the Clio, but the Clio's already kind of in there, hey?
Oh, yeah. No, it's discontinued, the Clio. They stopped making it.
Mm.
I don't know if they stopped making the Megane, actually. I don't know if it's fallen by the way of the Ford Fiesta, actually.
Haven't they discontinued Renault full stop?
I don't know. Maybe.
Don't tell the French.
Well, it's all Alpine now. That's it. We're rebranding the Alpine Clio.
Maybe the Renault Zoe or something.
What are the little Renaults? Twingo.
Oh, the Twingo. Yes.
Yes. Twingo. For my vote, I say a Toyota 86.
Oh, another one. Another Toyota. We don't need another Toyota.
I'm joking. Triggered. I'm joking. We need something different, don't we? Maybe just get a Mercedes in there.
I mean, for me, it's I desperately want Subaru to be back in WRC. So bring in an Impreza. Maybe STI will then start coming to the party again and tune WRXs. But for me, it would just be nice to get some of the OG brand recognized cars with rally back involved, Rob.
Oh, that's boring. Come on. Can we get real here? Can we actually list some real cars that we actually want to have? Because really, you're overlooking one obvious candidate.
If you say a Tesla or something equivalent, which I can see the look on your face, the listeners can't. I can see, and there is menace coming. I can feel it.
Come on, this is a brand with serious pedigree. Okay, so this.
Please don't tell me it's MG
or a GWM tank.
I'm of course referring to the MG3.
Stop it!
Have you not seen? It is literally, as Jeremy Clarkson said, it is.
Can't go up a hill,
no,
Rob.
But it's the fastest car in the world, because you go to any rental car place. Therefore, it is the fastest car in the world. You laugh now, but when Larry Yuna becomes the factory MG driver in 2025.
That could happen.
I'll remind you that little Rob James sent you here, okay?
Have you actually been in an MG3, Rob?
No, but I've been in its Dakar Rally cousin, the MGZS.
Well, the MG3 can't go up a hill. It changes gears about 25 times.
And coming up next on Listen to My Calls, we're going to have a special interview with NASA Alatea. Do you want to drive your ProDrive Rally Raid car or an MGZS? All these hard-hitting questions and more.
Listen to my calls.
Okay, WRC one time. M Sport Ford. This is maybe also an apology section immediately again, because we said that they probably weren't going to do all that much, Rob.
I'm very sorry.
But I tell you what, you've even said your boy Adrian Fumeau in a message to me.
You know what he is? He's the Aldi Charles Leclerc for me. Just a sweet little Frenchman. I don't know, he's Monegasque, but anyway, honourable mention. But Adrian Fumeau, I am bloody proud of you. I don't know what it is about M Sport and Rally Sweden, but this Puma is just hooked up on the snow. Yes, it was because of high attrition with, you know, Cali and Oit and what have you, and Thierry having fuel pump issues. It was very much a case of survival, and it would have been very easy to think that Adrian Fumeau, he's second. He's going to bin it because he's going to try to be a hero. But no, he does the sensible thing. Yes, he dropped to third, but an honourable third at that. He had Elfyn Evans behind him, who, let's face it, he's gunning for this year's World Championship.
He's supposed to win.
Yeah,
so
he needs all the points he can get at the moment, if I'm honest. But Adrian Fumeau, second on Saturday, third on Sunday for the rally, gets a swag of points. He's third in the championship.
That's
how quick this all happens. So it's Thierry Neuville, for those of you playing along at home, 48, 45 for Elfyn Evans, so he's not too far behind. But Adrian Fumeau, 29 points. So Adrian Fumeau in season 2022 only scored 13 points that season. And then in 2021, he also scored 42 points throughout the whole season. Mind you. And then in 2022, he only scores another 13 points that season. So he's already on his way to smashing his personal best at the way he's tracking. It's important for him to get, again, that first kind of podium. You hear about it. Doesn't matter what form of motorsport it is. You want to get that first podium out of the way. Eventually, that win. Let's face it, that win probably isn't going to happen. Can't wait to come back to this in apologies in a handful of rallies time.
Next rally, yeah.
To finish third, I'm thrilled for him. I'm thrilled for M Sport because it's a result that they need, and it still proves that the Puma is still reliable and fast enough to survive a rally. Which I don't know if you all remember this. Rallying is all about finishing, so it doesn't matter if it's the fastest car in the world. It's a Skoda Fabia Rally 2, whatever. It's got to finish. And Adrian and M Sport did that together. And I really hope it's the start of a wonderful partnership, because they need a clear number one driver. They need their Alex Albon to M Sport. They need a lead driver.
Does that mean we are demoting Gregoire Munster to American status? Logan Sargent.
I'm going to go easy on Gregoire. He's still very much the junior driver in that team, but it's not an ideal result for Gregoire. But let's face it, our attention's not really on him. I think for Adrian, really the pressure's more on him than I would argue Gregoire Munster. He gets a lot more leave passes than Gregoire into the big four snowbanks.
Mm. Well, he finished 23rd outright, but just back on Adrian, he almost absolutely collected Oit Tanak on stage four. So he had that adversity, and then to come to stage 11 and have the first win of the season for M Sport, but of course for everything else, the fact that Malcolm Williams is there as the owner and all of that, like there was just this massive positive energy behind Adrian the entire weekend, it felt like, from M Sport, and this is what the sport needs. We don't need a Hyundai or an Toyota to run off with a championship. We need M Sport to play their part too, Adelaide.
Yeah, they just have to finish, right? Like as Rob said. Is Adrian Formo doing a whole season?
Yes.
Like, is he doing everything? Okay.
Him and Gregoire doing all the heavy lifting. There's no part-time Adelaide drivers filling the breach for them.
How dare you?
No Radelaide's here.
It may be a surprise, Sebastian Loeb, if you dare believe. But
yes.
Somehow I don't think that's going to happen, but... But I think that's good for them. They should be doing all the heavy lifting because, you know, you see teams like that, they galvanise that sort of stuff. They're like the Wrexham of the WRC.
They need a bit of consistency because I think that's it. Like, I've had a look at his results the last 2 years. He hasn't actually done a full season. I mean, Gregoire Munster, that was tough because I think he had a puncture.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. And it was actually quite funny. Rob missed this, but that Pirelli, they did this whole segment on Rally TV where they did all about Pirelli and the studded tyres and, you know, we're making sure they don't puncture and, you know, all this stuff. And then the next stage cuts to Gregoire Munster with a puncture.
Yes.
It was actually very funny.
M Sport, I'm really, really bloody happy for them. And I know a lot of you listening are as well. Let's turn our attention to Toyota if we can because, and I said this right at the top, Taka... I am so bloody sad for this man because he was on it until he wasn't. And I had some stuff to do over the weekend. The first opportunity I had to watch this rally live was the 30 seconds before he then crashed into the snowbank. And so I had a lot of catching up to do in terms of why that was so important and how EP comes past. And then at the end of it goes, oh, I'm so disappointed for everything. I was like, what? What do you mean Taka was actually in the hunt to win it? Rob... We sort of said earlier in a couple of episodes ago that Taka probably wasn't the Toyota's favourite, but I tell you what, the way that he was driving in the snow, maybe we should also add an apology here.
Oh, no, I'm gonna bypass that apology. I'm sticking with it. He did very well to sort of be in that position, but if you go through the timings, it's very clear that Esa-Pekka Lappi was always going to usurp him. So I think Taka had an 11-second lead over EP on stage four, and then by the time we got to stage eight, Taka was 3.2 behind, and then stage nine he was less than a second behind. So it was always a case that he was going to get overtaken. But see, this is the difference that we have between Adrian Formo and Taka Katsuta. They are both probably feeling equal amounts of pressure to get a result of some kind, whereas Adrian just stuck fat, just kept the focus on and got his second place, whereas Taka, I think, I don't know if he was gunning for the win or if he was just trying to hold on for that podium spot. He was never going to win the rally. I'm adamant to that. EP was always going to win this rally for so as long as, you know, he kept it within the big four banks and the Hyundai was reliable. But yeah, but Taka, you know, at worst, he could have just hung on and hoped for the best. So yeah. I'm gutted for him because it would have been great to see him get himself a breakthrough result. He had his emotional press conference, which I didn't see till yesterday. You know, he was crying. Yeah. He was, I mean, get this man a sports psychologist. He was genuinely upset. I felt so sorry for the bloke.
Yeah, I heard about it and I hadn't seen it, and so I rewatched it. And he starts strong, but then he starts to really break down. And you can see, like, yeah, I was like, I can't even watch. This is actually very sad to watch because, yeah, like Rob said, get him a sports psych. I do feel like he probably. He puts himself, I've seen it in previous, like he puts himself down quite a lot, but I, you know, obviously he's still going, but I worry that he won't get that win or he won't get what he wants. And, you know, he will be kicked off or whatever, and it would just be very sad. But I don't see him leaving anytime soon. However, I just, for his sake and his mental health sake, I just wish he would get a win.
The big surprise for this rally was the fact that Callie Rovanperä didn't win it. Because everyone, including us, the Smelly podcast, all of the WRC.com articles, were all pushing towards how Callie can lose this rally. It's his rally to lose. Rob, turns out that smashing into a snowbank, having a spin, destroying your radiator and getting some punctures of those perfect Pirelli rubbers, really does, that's the way to lose it.
Well, Callie Rovanperä, he deserves the biggest apologies of all.
Very sorry about that.
It was an educated guess that he was always going to win it, and he was rapid early on. Was Callie Rovanperä? He was immediately on the pace.
Yeah.
The drifting certainly didn't sort of harm his ways, but we missed. I don't think I ended up seeing what actually. I know he got some damage, but he nearly rolled over Adelaide or something like that.
Because of course, in typical, you're in the middle of nowhere, you've got a plane above, you've got onboards. His onboards didn't work, so they didn't have any footage of him crashing.
Oh, not good enough. I immediately emailed Rally TV asking for my 194 euros back.
But yes, he had a spin, and they're the only shot they had for such a long time. They're like, oh, he stopped. They didn't know why. And they had this one shot. I can't remember who came up past afterwards. And you can see him like up on the bank, the tiniest little shot. And you were
like a course car.
Correct. It was honestly, it looked like a road closure. Like, it just looked like he was sitting there. And but obviously it was enough to stuff him up. But, you know, it wasn't like he didn't stop. Like, he obviously, that was it for the day, but he still won the power stage. You know, he still, if you actually have a look, like him and Oit, like they basically were just gunning it the rest of the time. But yeah, I mean, who knows what it was? It could have been anyone. There were so many spins and snowbanks, and
that power stage was wild. Again, it was the perfect ending to a bonkers rally. Like, I was just so satisfied. Like honestly, I could watch that entire rally all over again. It was so satisfying from start to finish. And that power stage, was an absolute belter. I mean, I think Elfin, he should have won that power stage if it wasn't for the spectacular jump and the subsequent sort of... He robbed one of the big four banks lost the power stage by 0.1 of a second, which, let's be honest, in his crucial hunt for world championship points was important. But look, to be honest, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. But... he should have won that stage, but I guess it was just desserts for Callie to at least get a, you know, smattering. Does he actually get more points for getting the power stage, even though he was like, you know, 38th or something?
Yeah, he finished in 39th, but points, the way the point system works, available to him. So in terms of standings though, Taka finished 45th, Callie 39th, Elfin yet again not finishing in first, even though he probably should be, but outright finishing in second, the fastest Toyota, probably not the expected fastest Toyota, even though yet again, Callie has an issue in the snow, often comes through and is the fastest Toyota. Happened in Lapland, happened here too. But it was really interesting to me. I love the post-stage chat, right? Because it's one of the only sports where you get that. It's very raw emotion, and you get to see some insight into what people are thinking. I'm really struck by how Elfin thinks about his competitors and spends probably a lot of time worrying about things outside of his car and his control. And the specific example I want to use is that Thierry Neuville had an issue with his car, the fuel pump that I think you mentioned earlier, Rob, inverted commas, issue, couldn't start the bloody thing. And so Elfin was sent out first. And when he got to the end of that stage, I think it was stage 5, the mic was put in his face. How do you feel? Oh, you know, we weren't expecting to see you first, of course, because going first out in fresh snow is not such a good thing. And his immediate thing was like, oh, yeah, it was, you know, I'm pretty sure it was a tactical move. I'm sure it wasn't actually a mechanical issue and everything else. And when Thierry comes through, he's like, really? This is what he's like? The guy was there and heard my car wouldn't start. Like, what do you think I'm doing? Pulling a spark plug ahead of the thing? Oh, Adelaide, that just drove... I was, like, gobsmacked.
Yeah, I watched that live too, and I was like, are you actually serious? Like, no, like, I get it. Like, it could have been tactical, but, you know, as Thierry said, he was literally sitting right next to the car. He heard the car was not turning on, right? And the best part was that Terry finishes and he wasn't even faster anyway. Yeah. Like, I think that's the thing. Like, Elfin's like, oh, you know, he did it on purpose. And, like, to him, like, it sucked it for Elfin because I think the next stage he was also first. And so, you know, he was tough on him. And that's probably not that I'm saying, like, because EP was amazing, but I'm not saying that cost him the win, but it definitely impacted him. But yeah, it's like Terry then proceeded to not win against Elfin for the entire rest of the rally anyway, I think. So it wasn't, there's no tactics. It can't have been a tactic, like, because it didn't work if that was the tactic.
Yeah, Thierry finished fourth in that rally. And for the whole rally with, well, for some people, still a very confusing point system. I love it. So Thierry scored 18 points. And then Elfin Evans, I think, scored 24 points. For that one. So it was a good sort of clawback, considering Thierry was, of course, the Monte Carlo rally victor. And that's why we only have we have 3 points. Maths wasn't my strong point. We have 3 points between Thierry and Elfin, which is the whole point, I think, of what this point system was about. We're going into the next rally with the championship absolutely on a knife edge at the moment. But It's remarkable that the early prediction of potentially being, as we, James and I predicted, an Elfin and an Oit, sort of 1-2 and then the best of the rest. It's not occurring.
No.
And I think this is exactly what the WRC needs.
This is what we want. Let's talk about Hyundai, because there's no other Toyota WRC Rally 1 cars to talk about, even though we've already mentioned him a couple of times. Oit Tanak had a really bad, very good, very not good time, I should say. Finished in 41st. He had a massive spin. Started overheating. When your car's overheating in the snow and ice, you know it's really bad, let's be honest. Had electric power only. That was in stage 4, so pretty early days. And Rob, I mean, again, you just said, like, this is what we think. Oit is going to be sort of pushing towards the front. I wonder what he was thinking watching Adrian Formo in that Puma go around the place and going, have I in fact made an error?
Oh, that is a great sort of sliding doors hypothetical. Had Oit stayed at M Sport, would he not be fifth in the standings and 3 points behind part-time driver Sebastian Ogier in the standings? So It's an interesting proposition that you propose.
Potentially higher because, I mean, in Monty, maybe he would have had better grips with the car than both Adrian and Gregoire did. So maybe he would be... Anyway, it is a slide indoors moment, of course. What if? But, I mean, that was kind of him done, though, Adelaide, pretty much for the rally there on.
Well, yeah, I think that was really chaotic because I was watching live and there was so much going on because I think that Cali, was it SS4? Yeah, it was SS4 too. There's just too much going on. And he, like, I watched him live hit that snowbank and then, yeah, I guess, I don't know if they, did they determine that there was a puncture in the radiator or that there was snow in there? I can't remember. But it was very sad because he kept trying and it just... I'm sure he was thinking there going, oh, my God, what am I doing? Why am I here? No. But, yeah, it was tough to watch because I think he definitely – a bit like Taka. I feel like they both – like Taka obviously took that spot and ran with it, but I think it was definitely his to win.
Thierry Neuville, fourth, still leading everything, by the way, which is very surprising and impressive. Good for him, even considering the issues that he had throughout this rally. Finishing fourth. As I said, the thing that I found really interesting was that comment from Elfin before. They did some repairs on the car on stage 5, didn't put a bonnet pin in properly, so then he had that whole thing. And visibility in the snow is one thing. Being able to see through your bonnet, Rob, is something completely different.
Oh, that was remarkable. It never ceases to amaze me. It's rally driving 101. Never forget the bonnet pins. It's like belt and braces for any rally driver. So I don't know if it was a failure or they just forgot, but he clearly did not have an advantage and it actually could have been a rally ender for him. It's to be honest, I'm so surprised the bonnet didn't fly up and break the windscreen and, you know, he had to do a Gregoire Munster and put his jacket over the over the window to prevent the snow coming in. But if it wasn't for the fact that Esa-Pekka Lappi won the rally, it would have been very hard to give Hyundai a lot of points or credit for this rally, but EP does the trick. And again, this was another beautiful sight to see. I mean, EP, it was 6 years between his last victory. And, you know, obviously he's a part-time driver. He had a very difficult second half of 2023. And to now, I guess, experience a change in fortune and a rally win, it was good to see.
Let's talk about the design very quickly too, and thank you to Hey Hey, it's Patrick Tambay on the Discord. Sean Bull Designs, who does some really good stuff, Rob. We'll go back to the design school like we did last week. One side of the car on the track and on the snow and the ice looks fantastic. The other side just looks like a squiggle. It doesn't look like an N when it's going that fast. True or false?
100% true. But this is the thing. I having watched the rally and seeing the car in context, I 100% get why they did it. And I was looking back at some old Monte Carlo stuff because it's very much 100% spurred on by the fact that Toyota have this big, gigantic GR on the side of it. And let's be honest, if you're a factory team, it's a marketing exercise. So this is why they want to have the N way more prominent because the GR, it's very hard to miss. It's so in your face. And I guess in lieu of any other sort of major sponsor that, you know, like a Red Bull, for example, that warrants a big chunk of the side of the car, it's an obvious candidate. Now, I love the design, the simplicity of the Monte Carlo car, but I get the Rally Sweden onward variation that they have. And it's a good livery. I wasn't knocking it last week or saying, oh, shit. I wasn't, you know, being a Richard Burns Rally fanboy describing the first time I ever played EA Sports WRC without changing any of the settings or just even bothering to adjust it to your driving style. It was just different.
Are they going to do a new livery for it? They should just do a new livery for each round.
That's the EP special right now.
Yeah, so correct.
The same thing. Like Thierry's got his one. EP's now got his one. There has to be something else.
We got to have the 2000 or 2001 Hyundai WRC livery on what was one of the shittiest World Rally cars ever produced in my future segment on Listen to My Calls of the ultimate WRC car ranking system. It is a livery that has aged so well. The 2000 Hyundai, but we'll save that for another day. But yeah, that's my obvious candidate.
Listen to my calls.
Well, we are only 5 weeks away from the next rally, the Safari Rally Kenya, the 28th to the 31st of March. This calendar is so well spaced, can I just say. I was just looking at this before and it's like January, February, March, April, May, two Junes, a July. It just, thank you. Whoever did this calendar, you should be promoted and praised in every single way. But that's it for this episode. Thank you to you for listening. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening. Join the Discord if you want to get involved and have a chat. And if you feel like it, you can leave us a rating or review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I've been James.
I've been one of the big four snowbanks.
And I've been the third driver that's just come along for the ride. And I've been Car 69.
And this has been Listen to My Calls.
Shut up. Don't tell me how to drive.
Listen to My Calls, a Helmet Hair Media production.
Don't ever listen to me again. You're banned from this program. Your SMS is banned. Piss off, asshole. Break.